Welcome back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
From the Vincent Mortgage Studios in Kirkwood, it's the Hardline 590 The Fan and InsideSTL.com with Cam Jansen and TJ Moe. I'm Eric Messersmith. And joining us now from the general manager's meetings in Florida is the Cardinals beat writer for the Post-Dispatch and our 590 Cardinal insider, Derek Gould. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, guys. How are you?
How is Florida this time of year?
It looks a lot like a hotel lobby.
Wait, so you haven't made it over to Disney World yet?
No.
Nah, I know you're so close yet so far away, right?
I don't really feel the need to do that.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you.
No, I might do some Christmas shopping, I guess, over there if I can sneak away. But this is business, guys. This is baseball.
That's right. Huge deal. It is.
It's all about business.
We're hearing, this is a time of year, Derek, where you hear just so many rumors and rumblings. And the latest report today, I think it was Bleacher Report, saying Stanton will not go, doesn't want to go to the Red Sox or the Cardinals, I should say. I'll just ask kind of open-ended. What are you hearing down there on the Stanton front and just in general?
Well, the Cardinals are interested in Stanton. They have not been told that he wouldn't accept a trade to them, but then that's not a surprise because why would the Marlins advertise that? The Marlins are out to get their best deal. They have a sense of where Stanton will approve a deal, but even they don't know the yes or no until they present one to him. And, we see time and time again, guys, and most recently, as I wrote about in today's paper, Justin Verlander, who made it clear that he was not going to approve a trade to Houston. Houston had that assumption that he would not approve a trade to Houston, and yet the Astros pressed on, and they tried to see if they could make a deal because, if they could come up with a deal with the Tigers, then the Tigers would go to Verlander and say, hey, look, man, the standings are here, the options are here, here's your chance. And then all of a sudden, lo and behold, he's a World Series champion with the Houston Astros. So no trade clauses change. Things like that happen. And, you'll hear a lot of stuff. What concerns me sometimes is that you hear reports that have roots in presumptions, not facts.
Right, absolutely. And so given that we don't know and nobody knows outside of him, and maybe he doesn't even know yet if he'd accept the trade to the Cardinals, they're going to do everything they can to try to make it happen. Parameters-wise, and I like the way you summed it up. I think you were on TMA last week, and you talked about there are kind of like two buckets. There's how much of the money will you take and what prospects do you want to give. Do you think a rough outline would be you pick up, if you're the Cardinals, 70, 75, 80% of the deal and give the Marlins a couple of high-level prospects, i.e. a Flaherty, maybe a Weaver, maybe a Reyes, and then maybe a Bader? Is that kind of the rough parameter of a deal you could envision?
The Marlins want pitching. The Cardinals have pitching to give. The Cardinals also have a surplus of outfielders and can give the Marlins major league-ready outfielders that are cost-controlled. These are appealing things to the Marlins. The Cardinals really are in a better spot to do that than the other teams. Including Boston, including San Francisco. They can do something like that. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, the give back would be that the Marlins would have to cover the cost beyond what the Cardinals calculate as the likely value of what Stanton brings. I don't know if it's 70 or 80%. But, a guy like him over the course of 10 years, I mean, the market says that he'll make 20 – or he should make $25 million or more over that time. So that's $250. That leaves, $45 million to $50 million for the Marlins to cover because it's their fault he has that contract. And then also there's the element of taxes. If you guys want to really get into the weeds, like how do you, he signs a deal in a state that doesn't have any taxes. So who's on the hook for maybe some of the coverage of that, because he'll want to keep the same day value of his contract that he signed with the Marlins. There's all that. Who carries that? And that also would probably be on the Marlins. So you can see how tricky it gets. And we haven't even gotten to the opt-out clause yet, which comes 3 years into the deal. So there are just a lot of elements to it. But the long and the short of it is the Cardinals will say, we think that we're getting this value from Stanton over the next 10 years. That's the player that we're willing to trade for. That's what we're basing the prospect package on. And you cover the rest of the dollars, Marlins.
Yeah, absolutely. Derek Gould joining us here on the Hardline 590 The Fan. Will Leach had a piece today, or yesterday, I guess, was where he kind of speculated what a deal might look like. We've obviously thrown it out. You know, I think pretty much everybody has. I'm just curious, Derek, based on just your opinion.
Probably.
Well, you
probably
haven't. But let me just ask you, and you don't have to answer if you don't want to, but just your opinion. If you were the Cardinals, mm-hmm. and you knew Stanton would agree to a deal, if you were, do you think it would be worth giving up Alex Reyes to get him, assuming you're picking up somewhere in that range, 70-80% of the deal?
Wait, the Marlins are picking up 70%?
No, the Cardinals are. The Cardinals are picking up 70-80%.
Yes.
You do think it'd be worth getting up Reyes? Okay, because I agree, and I was just curious your personal opinion if you thought that would be smart.
On it, right? I mean, Alex Reyes plays once every 5 days. The Cardinals have how many starters? Now, they don't have many high-end starters like him, but do they have alternatives? Yes, absolutely. Do they have guys who are, you know, if he's a one, do they have a handful of twos? Then yes. Again, he goes once every 5 days. You have Stanton who plays most days. Say he plays 120 games a year. That's still most days. And how many of those bats do you have? How many of those bats does the game have? How many of those bats exist in baseball? So you're trading a pitcher who, while you don't have a lot of, you do have more than one of, for a guy who you don't have any of. That, to me, seems like a pretty reasonable kind of deal.
What if they need Alex Reyes and Carson Kelly?
Wow. No, same thing. I mean, again, Yadier Molina is your starter. I think a lot of it depends on how much are they picking up then, you know. I don't really think that the Cardinals have to overwhelm the Marlins in this case. I think they just have to be respectful for the value that they're getting. If you're trading the best pitching prospect you got and the best catching prospect you got, then you can start seeing that scale tilt in the other direction, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting, Derek, because I don't know. I think the odds probably still are not great that the Cardinals would get Stanton. Not that it's impossible, but, you know, if you said, do I think it's more likely than not, I'd say probably it is probably less likely that they get him than they do. But I think because there's been so much talk about him, because so many people have speculated that it is a good landing destination, that hopes have been raised. And now I feel like if you don't get Stanton or Josh Donaldson or J.D. Martinez, like one of the elite bats that is available, that I think people might consider this to be a disappointing offseason, almost no matter what else you do. Do you think that, I mean, is that fair that if you don't get one of the elite bats on the market that you've fallen short?
I think that the pocket that you're describing, even if they get Stanton, would not be happy. And maybe I'm wrong on this, but I do think that there is just a vocal group that relishes being unhappy unless Lou Gehrig is playing for the Cardinals. I don't know what to make of it. They're certainly in the access to social media or the chats or emails, there is certainly a growing anger, and nothing has happened yet. And the number of questions I get each day asking me, why hasn't something happened yet? Why aren't the Cardinals making? They are already screwing it up. They, you know, just this notion that it had to happen yesterday for it to count. It's odd because there's no game tomorrow. There's no game Monday. They don't need to have their roster done. This isn't a race. You know, this isn't a sprint. This is a negotiation. And, you know, one of the GMs today was talking about how they come to the GM meetings and they've all had these conversations. They've all had these phone calls. They've all talked to everybody. He goes, if you're not talking to everybody, then you're not doing your job. This is what we do. He said, you come here, and that's when you start kind of getting a sense of, okay, who can we move in the right direction with? Who can we actually, you know, go down a path with? And he said, that's just starting. That's just happening. And so while there seems to be this need to have these deals completed yesterday, and why isn't J.D. Martinez signed, and why isn't this guy signed, and why isn't that guy signed, it's the same thing every year. This stuff plays out deliberately over a calendar. And I bring that up only because if they don't walk away with one of these elite bats, I mean, or even if they do get one of the elite bats, there'll be somebody who say, well, what couldn't they get because they waited so long to get it? And it's just, I think anger is the default for a lot of folks when it comes to a lot of the vocal folks. I think the vast majority of the fans are well-versed in how this plays out and know that, the Cardinals cannot compel something to happen. They need another team to make it work. But with the default just seems to be such anger for some people, and honestly, it's polluting the conversation. So, yeah, I mean, if they don't get they don't get one of those elite, I can imagine I will be fielding questions during the chat on the radio or somebody about why haven't they fired somebody yet.
If they don't, ultimately, obviously they're going to do what they can, but maybe Stanton just says at the end of the day, no, I'm not going, or the Marlins just get a better deal, whatever. If the Stanton Avenue is closed off, who do you anticipate would be the next target, or maybe a concurrent target at the same time as Stanton?
I mean, they have all these balls in the air, right? And this is not just a conversation with the Marlins is not just about Stanton. That's one of the benefits of talking to the Marlins is you can find yourself going down a path on Stanton and realizing, well, that doesn't work. But Yelich doesn't have a no-trade clause. Cardinals can match, probably offer up the best package at this point for Christian Yelich. I mean, there's a lot of teams interested in him. Probably more teams are interested in him than are interested in Stanton because of the nature of the deal, because of the upside of the hitter, and because of the fact that it's just more equal, or it's easier to see how a deal is done for him. So they're having these conversations concurrently. I mean, one of the things about this winter is there's not the big secret guy. We pretty much know who's available. We know what Toronto wants to do. If they can't pull it off with Donaldson, then yeah, they'll probably move Donaldson. You have a feel for who the free agents are. J.D. Martinez stands above all others. And when have you ever seen the Cardinals really try to get a deal for a guy like that who they didn't have any connection to whatsoever in the past? The answer is zero. So, or I guess Alfonso Soriano would be the last time that they even tried. So you know the framework of where they're going. But, yeah, they're doing all this at once. And I want to stress that, like a conversation with the Marlins that doesn't yield Stanton could very well yield an answer that fits the Cardinals' outfield. A conversation with an agent one of the things that was interesting that happened, I'm sure you guys saw it, whether the Cardinals were connected to Yu Darvish, right? That makes no sense. Zero sense. None. The Cardinals are not in the market for a starter at that level. Yu Darvish's market would have to completely crater for the Cardinals to go, yep, okay, we're going to get involved in that, right? But they were connected to him. Why is that? Well, probably because somebody asked, Darvish's agent, or more likely saw Darvish's agent talking to John Mozeliak, which he did for a long time, and connected the dots without recognizing that, oh, by the way, the same guy represents Addison Reed and Brandon Morrow, two relievers the Cardinals do have interest in. So that's kind of the nature of how this goes, is a lot of talk, a lot of conversations going concurrently, and a lot of things, a conversation could start at point A and end up with batter B, and the Cardinals would still be a better team.
Absolutely. Derek, it's that silly time of the year, but thanks for covering it for us, and we enjoy your work, obviously, at the Post-Dispatch. Try to have a little bit of fun when you're down there. Do you guys have, like, wild media parties at the GM meetings there?
Oh, I can only
there?
Imagine.
No.
Exactly.
Thanks, Derek.
All right. See you guys.
See you, buddy.
That's Derek Gould. He joins us here. It's so funny that I think Derek probably, that like newspaper people, they work hard, man.
Oh, my God.
Think about today. He's writing for the paper. He's writing online. He's blogging. He does like a five-hour chat. When we like radio people, when we go to places like that, we party our asses off. Like when radio people, we go to the Super Bowl, because let's be honest, we don't really do much work.
Mm-mm.
So it's just a completely different thing. Like he's at these meetings probably working 20-hour days.
No, he is.
You know where you need to go, Cam, or will be tomorrow. It is Celsius Cryotherapy there.
Yeah, dude. Hey, you want to do nothing and burn up to 800 calories? Kind of. Well, want to alleviate anxiety, fatigue, insomnia, and stress? Sure. Decreased muscle soreness, pain, and inflammation? Well, hell yeah! Who wouldn't want all that? Celsius Cryotherapy at 8839 Ladue Road is just east of I-70. Has the ability to help you with all that and much more. There are grand opening specials this week and 20% off if you mention 590 The Fan or Cam Jansen. That's me. Take a tour of the facility and check them out at CelsiusCryotherapy.com. There is no other therapy known to elicit such a powerful, positive and holistic response. For up to 3 minutes, you are put in a cryo sauna that floods you with nitrogen vapors, lowering the temperature inside to -250 degrees.
Holy That's cold. Cow.
To stimulate the entire body, stop by at 8839 Ladue Road and see it done live. Me and TJ together. Mention 590 or me, Cam Jansen, and get 20% off. There are several membership packages available. Celsius Cryotherapy is open now.
Right. Maybe I want to do it, Cam.
No, I want TJ.
Wow. All right, that'll do it for us.
I look good in the nudie.
You really do.
I look good when I'm freezing cold.
Thanks to Matt Rocchio and Brian Hoffman for helping us out. As always, stay tuned for Frank Opinion and Crew coming up next. For Cam Jansen, TJ Moe, and John Hadley, I'm Eric Messersmith, and this has been The Hardline, 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com from the Vincent Mortgage Studios. We're back tomorrow at 1. Until then, have a great night, everybody.